beginning with the 28th verse. We will read in unison through verse 30. Your Schofield Bible, page 1202, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, page 1202. Once again, we'll read the verses just all together, and let us stand, please, all together, and begin with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. And let's pray. Father, bless this special hour. We pray for thy help, thy Spirit's power, the preaching and the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Sitting here wishing that everybody that visits our church could know our people. I was thinking about Ray and Mabel as they were singing. I wish everybody knew them. I wish all the folks who visit here, it is spectacular, could know really what makes this church go. This couple just sang. I was their pastor when they were teenagers. And all these years, grew up in our church, married here. Now they have children that are getting close to being grown themselves. Not one time in 27 years and 2 months, a negative word. Not one time, not one moment, sleepless night have I spent because of this couple. And that's true about this whole crowd nearly this morning. It's too bad that people can't know what First Baptist Church really is. It's too bad that you can't see the people behind the scenes that make the church what it is. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, a package deal. A package deal. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, it's too bad we stop there. Usually when we read that verse, we probably stop there. But two of the greatest verses in the Bible follow Romans 8:28. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now I'm going to give you a little sneak preview here. Before I was ever born, I was justified. Before there was ever a world, I was glorified. You talk about losing it. We didn't get the same it. I mean, before there was ever an earth, I was on the heart of God. I'm not talking about this heresy that says God's ordained some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the blessed, glorious foreknowledge of God. Because of his foreknowledge, he knew I would trust him. And before there was ever a star that twinkled in the sky, before there was ever a sun that rose in the morning, before there was ever a moon that ruled the night, before there was ever a lake or a river or a mountain or a pond, before there was ever a valley or a meadow, I was called, justified, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son before the world was. The package was already wrapped before I got here. I mean, the whole deal was all packaged up and the ribbon on top before I ever was presented it. God didn't come along and say, I'll save your soul from hell, then I'll go back and get you some more and bring it to you later. God had it all packaged up, it was all finished, everything, before he offered it to me. I want to talk to you about that package deal. Father, bless, I pray, the message from thy book, by way of this simple preacher to the hearts of Thy people today. Oh, my God, help us to revel in the salvation that we have. Help us to swim in its waters and rejoice in its truths as we think of things eternal for these moments. In Jesus' name, amen. God always finishes everything before He offers it to us. Let me say that again and paraphrase it. God always finishes everything He has for us before He offers it to us. The earth was finished. The fish were in the sea. The birds were in the sky. The beast roamed the forest before there was man. God got it all ready. God didn't say to man, listen, God never has said to man, you help me create anything. God does it, completes it, and then gives it to man. All truth was completed before the mind was created. Nobody ever finds a new truth. All truth was already created, completed, before the mind was ever created. Oh, I've discovered a new truth. No, you didn't. No, God found it several days ago. All food was made before the hunger. It's not as much left as it was when I found it. All beauty was made before the eye was made. All music was made before there was an ear. All fragrance was made before there was a nostril. The sea was made before there was a ship. A child was born yesterday. Each of his newborn senses are besieged immediately. Beauty says to the eyes of the child, I'm ready for you. Music says to his ears, I'm ready for you. Food says to his hunger, I'm ready for you. Fragrance says to his nostrils, I'm ready for you. The Holy Spirit says to his spirit, every step has already been planned. Those little babies whose names we read a while ago, do you know before they ever were delivered, every step of their lives were already planned by the Holy Spirit before they ever got here? The Father said to that little child's body, all your food's been ordered. All of your clothing has been ordered. All of your housing has been ordered for your whole life. Why do we fret? Why do we worry? Why are we tense and nervous? I mean, before we were ever born, God had the whole package all ready for us. Take the matter of salvation. He offers it in a package. It was all finished before He offered it to me. He didn't say, I got it part finished, now you finish it. No, it's all finished. The Bible says that God, because of His foreknowledge, looked down into the future. And God saw a little boy almost 11 years of age with an alcoholic dad, with a mom trying to put what little pennies she could together and work all she could, and even mowing some yards to make a little money to keep her boy fed. And God looked down through His foreknowledge and saw that little boy in the ghettos of southwest Dallas, Texas. And God said, that little boy, I see something down there. I see a service outside behind the church on a Sunday night. I see a faithful preacher preaching the gospel of my grace. I see an invitation. I see two folks walking the aisle. One is a young man named Squires, and the other is that little 11-year-old boy, Jackie Boy Hiles. I see it. And God, in His foreknowledge, said, He's going to trust me someday. He said, predestinate him. He said, justify him. He said, glorify him. And before there ever was a Jack Hiles, I was glorified in the sight of God Almighty. am I justified? Am I justified, declared righteous by a holy and just God? Have your demands of holiness been met? Has your righteousness been met? Could I, a frail creature of dust, sinful as frail, could I stand guiltless in the presence of my God? Could that be possible that I do that? God looks back and says, Jack, you always have been justified. I looked down the road and saw you coming and got ready for you before you got here. Justified. I'm justified. I'm happy in Jesus today. The sins I've committed are all in the past. They've all been forgiven. And He holds me fast. I'm justified. But more than that, always have been justified. Talk about losing it, brother. I had it before I got here. Lord, am I glorified? Will I be glorified someday? Will I have a body like Jesus someday? Is it true that when we shall be like Him, when He shall appear, we shall see Him as He is? Do I have a glorified body? Out yonder, will I have a glorified body someday? And God looks down and says, someday, good night. It's hanging in the closet right now. My robe of righteousness is already in the closet. Ready for me. God looked down and saw. Oh, listen, we don't rejoice about salvation enough. No, we don't have enough spells about the fact of God's great salvation. We talk about eternal salvation, and we think, boy, it always will be. But bless God, eternal means more than that. It means it always was. Never was a time when I was not justified. Never was a time when I was not glorified. Never was a time when I was not predestined to be conformed in the image of God's dear Son. These little people that say, you do something wrong and you lose it, and do something right and get it back, do something wrong. Hey, look, they don't understand the great truth of divine salvation, of all that it means, redemption in its fullest means. I always will be redeemed because I always was redeemed. I say, will I be glorified? My glorified body is already prepared and always has been. My robe's all pressed and ready to wear, just waiting for the trumpet to sound. Years ago, I had an uncle and an aunt called Uncle Roy and Aunt Octa. Uncle Roy's one of the best men I ever met. Never knew a finer man, except one thing, he chewed tobacco. But he didn't know it was wrong. He had a preacher chewed too, and he didn't know it was wrong. Uncle Roy loved this book. He loved God best he knew how. And he read this Bible between spits. He loved the Bible. But Enochti was saved. We used to call Enochti. Enochti was saved before Uncle Roy was. And so, one day, she couldn't get him to go to church. But he went to baptize. And now back in those days, you didn't have baptistries. You didn't. They had baptizing once every month or so. They'd go out to the creek and it was in the afternoon and they'd take their lunch and have baptizing. I say once a month, probably once a year. Way out in the country, a place called, I think it's called Durr's Chapel Baptist Church, maybe. Anyway, Uncle Roy went to baptizing. Wouldn't go to preaching, but he'd go to baptizing because he liked to eat on the ground, you know. So he wouldn't go to preaching. So he went to baptizing that Sunday afternoon. And they're baptizing, the preacher's baptizing, and Uncle Roy saw these folks baptizing, and the preacher kept saying, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. And though Uncle Roy wouldn't listen to preaching, he saw salvation there. And bless God, every time you see somebody baptized up here, you see the glorious picture of salvation, buried to walk in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, buried with Christ by baptism unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Roy saw that salvation pictured and he said, Octi, he said, you know what? If I had my clothes, or change the clothes of me, I'd get saved right now and get baptized. She said, Roy, there in the wagon. There in the wagon. And Octi brought his clothes with him to baptize him. Uncle Roy got saved there at baptismal service out in the creek, by the creek, and got baptized that very day. Everybody knows you shouldn't get baptized the day you get saved. Supposed to be approved by a board of backsliders before you can get in the church. Supposed to pass a test. The fellows that give it to you couldn't pass. before you get in the church. You got to make a speech and tell everybody how you got saved. I'm saying what Uncle Roy didn't know when he said, I want to get saved, and I'd get saved and baptized if I had a change of clothes, was it back down before they ever left, and after God's change of clothes had, and before there was ever a world, God, in his foreknowledge and by his foreknowledge, saw I'd be saved, and thanks be to God, everything about my salvation was all packaged up before I ever said, yes, I'll take it. I took the whole package. All of it. There's a second thing about this package deal besides salvation. That's the matter of the will of God. I want to stay on this a while, on the will of God. I want to say this morning, not only was your salvation totally completed, and by the way, if it's totally completed, you don't need baptism to finish it up. If it's totally completed, you don't need the Holy Eucharist or the Holy Cow to finish it up. If it's totally completed, you don't need to live a good life to finish it up. 'Tis done. The great transaction is done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin and left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He said it is finished. And that means there's nothing else to do. I take it. I'm a little tired of folks saying, give your heart to Jesus to get saved. You don't give your heart to Jesus to get saved. You don't give anything. You receive something to get saved. You accept God's gift of eternal life. You accept God's gift of His grace. You accept God's gift of His Son. Salvation is receiving a gift. It's not giving anything. It's taking something by faith. But not only does the package deal, is it already packaged and wrapped when I take it? Concerning salvation, concerning His blessed will. Back yonder, when I decided I was going to do God's will, not my own, and I yielded to follow God's will, and I mean this morning, I'm no saint, but I mean this, and you can, my enemies can use this any way you want to, enjoy yourself with it. I don't know this morning, and I mean this with all of my soul. I don't know a single thing in this world I'd refuse Jesus if I thought He wanted it this morning. I don't know of a single place I wouldn't go if I thought He wanted me to go. I don't know of a single thing I wouldn't lay on that altar right there this morning. I mean that. I love Him. He's my God and He's my Savior and He's my strength and He's my helper. I would have fainted had I not lived to see the goodness of God. He's my wonderful God and I love Him. But you know, back yonder before I ever yielded my life to do what He wanted me to do and to go where He wanted me to go, you know every step of the way was already planned. He said, why didn't He tell you? If He had told me when I surrendered my life to preach the gospel, if He'd have told me all I was going to go through with, I'd have said, phooey. He just gives me one piece at a time. One little piece at a time. You know what I hate? I hate to watch ESPN in the afternoon. I'm in a motel room. These rerun ball games. You know who's going to do what. You done read about it in the paper. You know who won and you know the whole thing. Well, bless God. I don't want to know what's going to happen to me. I want tomorrow to be an exciting new experience. I want tomorrow to be a microcosm of a lifetime. I want tomorrow to open up the will of God to my own life. But I'm saying, in spite of the fact that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, God knew what was going to happen tomorrow before I was ever born. He has it all prepared. He has every meal all planned. He has every suit or dress you'll ever wear all picked out. He has every house in which you'll ever live already chosen. He has every piece of furniture you'll ever put in that house already prepared. He has every trip you'll ever take already planned. He has every car you'll ever own already ordered. He has every friend you will ever need already picked out. Listen to me. Quit your worrying. Quit your fretting. Oh, but you say, preacher, I tell you, I don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. Well, then just do what you can today. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. The Israelites didn't know they're going to get any food tomorrow. God put that food down every morning. The manna fell every morning. And I'm simply saying, well, you say, preacher, I'm afraid I won't eat tomorrow. But if God doesn't want you to eat tomorrow, rejoice that you don't have to eat for Him. He's got it all planned. He's already planned it. It's a package deal. Now, I'll say this. He's even planned some pain and heartache along the way. Now, listen to me carefully. Let me tell you how you can bear your pain and bear your heartache. If it's in His plan, you can bear it. When the trials come and the heartaches come and the burdens come, and if you're over 18 years of age, they're on the way or they're already here. They're going to come. The reality of the world and of earth and its problems is going to come. But listen, if you love Him and if you are in His will, He's the tour guide. He planned some pain for you. Rejoice in it because that's a part of His plan. That's the way it's easy. You said this is His plan. This is what He planned for me. How can I know? How can I know He planned it? If I love Him and I'm in His will, that's what He says. It's a package deal. It's already planned. I'm 60 years old. Look like I'm 40. Feel like I'm 70. But I'm 60 years old. God has planned every step I take from now to the time I look in His face. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Why should I stew? My God will supply all your needs. Didn't say all you want, said all you need. It's all planned. Every loaf of bread I'm going to eat is already in the oven. Every bite of food that I'm ever going to eat, God has already planned it for me. I wonder. Let me say this morning. I'm talking to somebody that says, okay, preacher, I believe what you say, but I'm out of that plan. And I can never get back in it. I got some wonderful news for you. If you've gotten out of that plan, do you know God's got another one? Already made up, another package. He comes and says, this is my will for you. Do it. And you begin to do it. And then all of a sudden something happens and you blow the will of God, the perfect will of God. And the man says, boy on you, get out of here. Rubbish, good riddance, bad rubbish, garbage. God says, I can use rubbish. God says, I can use cast clouts and rotten rags. I used some old water pots beside the road one day. I used a few leftovers one day. I used 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed the 5,000. There's nobody God cannot use. God comes along and God says, I gave you a plan. I gave you a salvation. It was totally planned, a package deal. And you took it. And then I gave a plan for your life, a package deal. Had everything all planned for you. Now, if you get a little ways off the road, God said, I'll bring you back on the road. You can stay in that plan. God said, if you've gotten so far off that road, you can't get back anymore. He said, don't go away. I still need you. Isn't that wonderful? Don't we have a wonderful God? You will never drift so far away from Him, but what God has a second plan for you. An improvised plan. An acceptable plan. God has another plan for you. And He offers you, comes and says, okay, I gave you the first package deal, and you blew the first package deal, but I got a second package for you. It's not as big as the first, not as many opportunities as the first, but I still need you. I still want you. You're still my child. I'll give you a second plan. And you take it, and God has it all planned. You blow it again. God says, hey, I got a third one with you. And then listen. You know that after, if you've blown it so many times, that God finally says, okay, the only plan I got left for you is I'm going to take you on to heaven. Can't use you anymore on earth. Hey, that's not so bad. You know, if you decide to serve God, the worst thing that can happen to you is go to heaven. That's the worst thing that can happen. What's the best thing is perfect will. What's His second best thing? His acceptable will. What's the third best thing? The next package He has for you. God said, I'll use you. I can't use you maybe to preach, but I can use you to run a bus route.
I can use you to teach your Sunday school class. I can't use you anymore in your Sunday school class, but I can use you to witness on the street corner. You can preach at a rescue mission. You can pass out tracts on the street. You can preach down on Rush Street in Chicago. I've got something for you to do. Hey, don't go away. I don't have much help. I got something you can do. I don't care where you are. God's got something you can do. You get the place where you can't do it, and you're so far off that you can't do any of them. God said, okay, come on up here, and that'll be a lot of fun. In fact, sometimes it makes me want to get out of all those wheels so I can get up right away. Let me see if I can sort of package it up for you. God comes and says, it's all planned for you, always has been. I've got it for you. I want to give you salvation. He doesn't come and say, here's payment number one, behave yourself, and I'll give you payment number two. No, he comes and says, payment number one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, all the way through, the final payment has been paid on the cross. And even that cross, when he paid for it, the Bible says he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God looked down in prophecy and with a prophetic telescope, and God saw a fallen race. And God said, okay, he said, I'll see that fallen race. I'll die for him. In the mind of God, the lamb was slain before there was ever a world. In the mind of God, I was saved before there was ever a world. In the mind of God, I was justified before there was ever a world. In the mind of God, I was glorified before there was ever a world. And in the mind of God, he had the plan for my life before there was ever a world. And God comes along and God says, I've got a will for you. And I say, Lord, what is it? He said, I've got the whole package, but I'm just going to open up one little part of it to you. Each step I take. The psalmist said, order thou my steps according to thy will. He didn't say order my path. He didn't say order my journey. Just let me know the next step. That's all I have to know. And then, let me just sort of give you a little summary of it. The Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You know the mistake we soul winners make? We go out and say, if you love God, you can be saved. And that's not true. Our message is not, you must love God. Our message is, God loves you. That's our message. God loves you. You don't have to give him your love. You accept his love. You have no love to give. You have phileo to give. God has agape to give to you. And you have the counterfeit. God has the real. You have nothing you can give God. Your love is tainted. And your goodness is tainted. And your merit is tainted. And all you have is tainted. Your heart is tainted. And God said, I'm not trying to get anything from you when I'm saving your soul. I'm trying to give you something. And he gives it to you. He gives you that love that you in return can return to him. My message this morning to you, my message is not love God. My message is God loves you. God loves you. I'm 60 years old. For 55 years, I've been totally captured by that blessed thought. The time that you've heard me tell about when I was a little 5-year-old barefooted boy, sat on the knees of a Sunday school teacher in Dallas, Texas in the beginner department. Little white t-shirt and little khaki pants on, patches on either knee. And first time I was ever in a city Sunday school, and that little lady, her name is Miss Bethel, put me on her knee. And she said, boys and girls, we're glad to have little Jackie boy today, aren't we? And nobody said a word. Mrs. Bethel looked at me and she said, Jackie boy, did you know Jesus loves you? And I could not tell you how I felt. I'll never forget how I felt. I looked up and said the first words I'd said to her. I said, Mrs. Bethel, does he love me as much as he loves the little boys and girls that have on shoes? A tear escaped her eye and invaded my brow. And she said, Jackie boy, he probably loves you more than he loves anybody in this room this morning. And you've got to have a dad for the neighborhood drunk to understand what that means. And you've got to be the little boy they laugh at because he plays barefoot and understand what that means. And you've got to be a little boy that never had a Christmas present yet, never had a birthday present yet, and whose mama and worked yourself to death and got an old lawnmower and mowed yards to keep her little boy clothed and fed. You've got to understand what it's like. And then some Sunday school teacher says, God loves you, and I've said it 10,000 times in the last 27 years. I don't know any better news than that. God loves me. He loves me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. God comes this morning to you and says, you don't even have to love me. You just accept my love and I'll make you my child. You say you can be saved without loving God. Oh, shut up, Pharisee. I'm preaching the gospel. You don't have any love to give God. Not the good that I have done. Simply to thy cross I cling. The Bible says my righteousness is like filthy rags. Come to God, say, God, here I am. I give myself to you. He says, sorry, I don't want you. I got something to give to you. Then I'll make you over again, then I'll want you. He says, your righteousness is like filthy rags. This morning, don't tell me you don't want to be loved. Never an I love you crosses through my ears without a sweet warmth of sunshine coming into my soul. Never a little child says under the door of my office, I love you, Brother Howells, without a tingle in my soul and the warmth of God's love being shed abroad in my own heart. Never. And never a person says, I hate you, without a dart, an arrow piercing my breast. And never a person tells somebody else they hate me without a hurt that I cannot describe. And all of us love to be loved. Ah, but you take all the love that every mother's ever had for a child, and all the love that every father's ever had for his son, and all the love that every father's ever had for his daughter, and all the love that every mother's ever had for a baby girl, and all the love that every mother's ever had for a baby son, and all the love that a fiancé's ever had for his fiancé, and all the love that every bride's ever had for a groom, and all the love that every groom has ever had for a bride, and all the love that every daughter's ever had for a dad, and all the love that every daughter's ever had for a father, and all the love that every son's ever had for a dad, and all the love that every son's ever had for a father, and all the love that every grandparent's ever had for a grandchild, and all the love that every friend has ever had for a friend, and put it all together, it won't be a drop of water compared to the love of God. How rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The saints and angels' song. This morning I come to tell you of a God that has His love all prepared and offers it to you. He has salvation's package all prepared and offers it to you. He has your life, every step of it all planned and prepared and offers it to you. And as you travel the pathway of the will of God and the plan of God for your life, how wonderful it is to see Him as He opens up the way and shows you what you did not know but what He's known all along. Thank God for His omnipotence. Thank God for His omniscience. Thank God for His omnipresence. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His compassion. Thank God for His justice. Thank God for His holiness. Thank God for His patience. Thank God for His long-suffering. But thanks be to God 10 million times 10 million. He loves me. He loves you. And if you'll come this morning and accept that love as manifested on Calvary, He'll give you a package deal of salvation. Your name has already been written in heaven if you get saved. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. You say, God chose you to be saved? No, He knew I'd choose Him to be saved. And God said, look it down there. God looked down this morning to 1986, October number 26. And God looked down through His telescopic foreknowledge and God said, I see the First Baptist Church of Hammond. And I see several thousand people assembled there in that auditorium. And I see a simple but faithful, sincere man of God standing before that crowd. And God saw you. God saw you sitting there before there was ever a world. God saw you sitting there before there was ever a heaven. God saw you sitting there. God saw that you were going to feel like you feel right now.
And God saw the heavy load of sin that you're feeling right now. And God saw your desire to accept eternal life. And God saw you walk down this aisle before there was ever a world. And God saw you kneel here through His foreknowledge. And the moment that God saw you before the foundation of the world, God wrote your name in the book of life. God justified you as if you had never sinned. And God glorified you because He foreknew that you would trust Him. Why don't you accept that love today? It's already. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. The table's spread. The meal's prepared. It's finished. It's finished. Don't walk the aisle and say, I'll help you finish it. No, walk the aisle and take it. It's done finished. God didn't ask you to help prepare the meal. God said, it's on the table. You just eat it. It's yours. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. You may have this package plan, already packaged, planned by God. All you've got to do is receive it. Accept it. He said, now that's easy to lead them. Well, Pharisee, you call it what you want to call it. I'm going to call it what God calls it. God said, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Now change it if you want to, but don't call yourself a Bible preacher. Go ahead and preach your hard believism. I'm preaching, take it and you got it. Shall we stand?